friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Good morning.
It's early.
We were up late last night. We partied here at Valerie's house. It was so fun.
I once again lost.
She is the best. Okay, not only is she the best hostess, but she's a really good cook. Everything she made was delicious.
I've never had a panini.
Really?
That tasted that.
And Valerie, Valerie always says, I just threw it together. It was no big deal.
They're getting excited about paninis.
Her throwing it together is not just throwing it together.
My ponytail hit the curtain and making your hair so thick.
I'm so jealous.
You want to know what my secret is?
Never wash your
hair. Here's the secret. Well, I don't wash my hair. I don't brush my hair. Pretty much nasty. But I take a supplement to improve my prostate health.
And it helps your hair? No, it actually does.
I don't have a prostate,
but I take this stuff for prostate health.
It's called saw palmetto. Yeah, saw palmetto is really good for
And then I take shit for my joints. I take glucosamine chondroitin.
Oh, I do that.
And then I do like a really lots of vitamin D. I'm telling everybody my supplements.
Saw palmetto is actually great.
Fish oil.
Well, what was the first one?
Saw palmetto. Yep, I take it too sometimes. When I take it, my hair does do a lot better. It is for prostate health. I know.
Which is the irony.
Okay, that's like my hair trick.
So they've actually done studies on it for helping decrease prostate cancer research and things like that. There's a whole bunch of
Does it help you poop too? Is that what?
I feel like it should because it looks like one of those really high fiber type pills.
Does it not only help your hair grow, but it helps
you poop?
I don't know. Maybe.
I can't remember right now.
But anyway, if I whip you with my ponytail, sorry.
Maybe I need that.
I feel like it was a pink pony.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would.
She needs a pink pony.
I know. I remember in Zumba, sometimes I'd whip my hair and I'd hit myself in the face.
Oh, you just stand close to Lisa. She's going to whip you. It is dangerous.
Yeah. I think my cleanup strategy is really what got me, because there was like three of the bottles of wine had like an inch in the bottom of this. I was doing just fine, but I was like, I'm not going to stay.
We were thinking about combining it into one wine to just see what it tastes like.
Everyone left last night
and the three of us kept talking, and Valerie just kept, there was maybe an inch or two inches in a couple of bottles of wine. She was cleaning up and just pouring the ends of it.
I doubled my wine intake and now I'm like
cleaning up the wine.
I need the coffee.
Coffee is necessary today.
But the wine was super good too. So I drank probably a little more than I should have. Seriously, I love that vineyard
and I love Terra Blanca.
I feel like we're advertising Saw Palmetto in Terra Blanca today.
Yes, this is what we really want to be talking about.
What we're really here to discuss is yours truly. By Abby Jimenez.
It was so cute. It was really cute.
A listener recommendation. So thank you.
Thank you. Good recommendation.
It was such a good recommendation. Yeah, I loved it.
It really was. It was super cute.
Yeah. It was released in April 11th, 2023. Mm-hmm. And Abby wrote it during COVID.
Yes.
It sounds like she suffers from anxiety disorder. The book deals with anxiety disorder, also deals with autoimmune disorder. And I liked that. I mean, it makes people real in the book. I mean, these are things that people really suffer from. And I liked how she talks about it and how people deal with that. And it just was a very thoughtful book.
Yeah, it was a good book. But it wasn't a victim of anything. It was just like, oh, this is just part of me.
It's like this is how I deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And my partner has this, and this is how I can help them deal with it. But everyone, I still liked it because everyone was still responsible for themselves. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. And there was no enabling in here. There was no weird codependency. I really thought it was just a nice, like.
And the characters all made sense.
Yes, they did.
Like, they felt very realistic. And they,
absolutely.
That's totally how I would respond. And that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. Left and right. Amazing.
And I was just like, you know what?
Left and right. Up in the back.
I think that's really cool about this. And I wonder if this is just because the author does have anxiety. What she was talking about, the problem with being an anxious person is that you play through every scenario for every single thing.
Yes.
And you can just tell that this author as a human being is just so thoughtful. And I really think that, like, we forget that sometimes a superpower of anxiety is thoughtfulness.
Totally.
Or can be.
And I loved how, I don't know, the people in my life that have anxiety and share that with me deeply. Not only are you playing out every single scenario and feeling anxious about what your next move is, but you're also anxious for the other people's next moves. Like, you're thinking about everything
possible. Oh.
Like, very deep, thoughtful people. They're pretty incredible. So let me tell you about these main characters.
Yeah, how do they meet? Who are they?
Yes, we have two colleagues. They meet in the emergency room. They're both ER doctors. And I'm going to botch it. At Royaume Northwestern Hospital.
Sure.
Yeah, sound good?
Yeah,
so the very first time they meet, Brianna, the female love interest, she just thinks that Jacob is a cold asshole that's trying to steal her promotion. The good old boy.
She thought Jacob was an Edward.
Don't you think, though?
We're talking Twilight?
I feel that it's an interesting thing when people are shy or maybe have anxiety issues, they're seen as being rude and snobby and self-involved.
Yeah.
When it's just hard for them to be outgoing and talkative. And
they're playing everything in their minds at the time.
So I think this is kind of interesting how that's how she perceives him.
Yes.
Because he's not outgoing. He doesn't bring muffins for the first day or donuts.
Yeah.
What was it?
Cupcakes. But not only that, but like all of the other coworkers they're like really looking at him like he's a total fuck up. Like,
he had the worst day ever. Killed seven people. Yeah.
But then like she did a kindness too.
Yes.
Like she explained to everyone like, okay, there's no way he could have saved this person. This scenario. Like,
yeah.
Be kind. Like, he just had a shit first day handed to him.
There are terrible days. Like, I probably have calls sometimes and I'm like, hey.
Yeah. That would be a tough job.
Yeah. So they're calling him Dr. Death.
So
to and nobody likes him. They think he's.
Nobody likes him.
Yeah.
Everybody hates him. He should go eat somewhere.
And even Brianna is not interested in him
either. She has no interest whatsoever.
She also finds out that he might be he's in line to take the position at the hospital.
Yeah. Because even though
the medical director is like planning to retire. No one is running for the position. She thinks it's going to be a shoo-in because she's kind of everybody's favorite. Mm-hmm. She's a really hard worker. She's been working so hard. She wants this promotion. She wants to just dive into work because she just doesn't want to deal with her life.
She's kind of going through a divorce right now. Mm-hmm. Her ex-husband cheated on her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so she's just like, you know what?
Okay, so she's got that relationships aren't her for relationship me. Thing.
Yeah.
And then the only person in her life that like she really, truly, deeply loves and cares about, her brother Benny.
Yes.
He is going through some intense medical things.
Absolutely. He needs a new kidney.
Yeah. Yep. He's needing a new kidney.
Because of his autoimmune disease. And like he went from being this vibrant 27-year-old to 28, just ends up moving him in with her because his depression and
he's dysfunctional because of depression too. Well, having to be on dialysis and just I mean I've seen this. It has a huge impact on
him. And at this point he has such a rare blood type that the prospect of him getting a kidney is so he's feeling depressed because he feels like it's not going to happen for him.
Well, and there's so many things because he has to be so perfectly careful and they all kind of know you know, you're going to be lucky to get a kidney within 10 years. The
restrictions you have to be on.
Yeah, like you can't even have ice cream. You can't even do this. You know,
because too much fluid in ice cream. Like, because your body just can't process it. Yeah. It's just, it's rough.
And the also, outlook is grim. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, one of the things I really like that she touched on too was when someone goes through a serious medical issue, how like, friends at first like are sort of there and, you know, kind of, but how you also lose a lot of people in your life because, you know, you can't do as many things, but then also just because your world changes to survive, to surviving, you know, you're like, well, I used to have 3 hours a day to, you know, go hang out with you. Now I spend 3 hours a day at dialysis.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, so like his girlfriend broke up with him. He couldn't keep his job because he would be getting sick sometimes. And then and then once the depression kicks in, which is a very real thing when you're going through his experience, you stop taking care of yourself and then that makes things worse. And so when Brianne meets Jacob, the doctor who she wasn't getting along with, the other one, it was actually, she was rushing to go see her brother in the ER.
And knocks his phone, breaks his phone, but she doesn't know. She's just so focused on getting to her brother. Totally makes sense. And so that's what's going on with Brianna.
And Jacob is big like deals. Mad because he breaks his phone. So he's going to go storm in and tell her that, you know, she needs to walk in the hospital.
So the idea of him being a cold asshole.
And then like, also just clueless of the moment, you know. But how would he didn't know that was her brother, that there was these things. So they both have these things, you know,
but their issues and goals. Let's go back to like what's going on with him at the time too. He just transferred hospitals because he needed to get away from his recent ex, who is now dating his brother.
Engaged.
And not only dating, but dreading the whole wedding because he's so thoughtful that he doesn't want to make it all about him and his family just focusing on him. He wants his brother to be happy because he loves his brother.
And his family's super tight-knit. Like, his family is increased. And his mom is like a sex therapist.
Absolutely. Very comfortable talking to anyone
about everything, you know, and you poor, this poor little anxiety boy. So he was like, and so his entire family,
this wedding without being the pity party.
Yeah. And his entire family's all like, we will disown them for you. So like, it's nice.
Yeah. So he's got a lot he's dealing with.
And he also understood that his ex-partner wasn't a good fit for him too. Mm-hmm. And so, and he's like, she's actually like, this is how thoughtful he is. Like, she's actually a really good fit for my brother and we weren't a good fit. So he's like, it made sense to him that they were together. Like he didn't.
Cause she's more of an outgoing person. She likes to go to parties and she likes to go talk to people. And in those situations, because of his anxiety, it killed him.
And that was hard for them. Sure. That would be a hard thing to overcome in a relationship. Mm-hmm. For sure. So between like Brianna, like wanting to get this promotion and dealing with her brother's things and Jacob and his social anxiety and awkward family dynamics, like it's really hard for them to both like overcome what they're dealing with.
Yeah. But I really like it how they kind of come in together. So after Jacob does that, like awkward, I'm going to come in and yell at you for running in the halls.
Yeah.
We start seeing how he bridges his awkward gap and he writes Brianna a little note.
Talk about like just a little bit more about like how they're dealing with some their internal issues too. Cause they've got these external goals.
Yes.
But internally they're both suffering from the backlash of that awful divorce that Brianna's going through. Mm-hmm. She was cheated on and lied to for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of trust issues around getting in a relationship.
And now she's left with is she's living in her mom's home. the childhood, the home she grew up in, which is like stuck in the
1970s. She still has like her childhood posters on her wall.
She doesn't really have anything of her own right now. She's sort of living in this weird space. Yes. She doesn't have her own home. She just is out of this divorce where he was cheating on a friend of theirs.
Yeah.
A friend of theirs. So she feels very betrayed.
And not only that, but like from her very early childhood, like she didn't have a father figure. Yeah. And like, so her mom kind of unintentionally made her believe that like, you just can't trust men. You always need to have a plan B, never really go all in. And so like, she's got that just ingrained in her DNA. And so that's a big barrier for her, especially after having that proven her husband, like, you actually can't trust men.
Yeah, that's super true.
So her trusting anybody at this point is hard.
Yeah. So I feel like that's one of, like, that is the biggest barrier for her to overcome.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Take a lot.
I mean, it's only been a year, too, since she was divorced. So.
Well, no, she's not even divorced at the beginning of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like she's anticipating, like, in 2 weeks, my divorce will be finalized.
Yeah. Like, the divorce process does take a while. So they've been separated for a while. And in fact, she finds out later that her ex-husband, his affair partner is pregnant, and that causes.
So I mean, it's sort of for her to for her to meet Jacob, establish a relationship is hard
when she's at her all time low. That'd be so hard.
And right now she's just like, okay, I'm gonna be in this with my brother. That's gonna be my main thing for the next, for the rest of her kind of. If you wanted to have a relation, a family, her family was going to be, I'm going to take care of my brother and do all of that. And she would never actually have a family of her own, getting her brother through all the situations or the stuff. So, just the acceptance, coming to acceptance of the fact that this is just what it is. I mean, and I think that one thing that people don't kind of understand too is the impact of a really crucial disease on the support system of the person going through it. And then the guilt of the support of the person with the disease, because they know that
it
helping them,
all of the dynamics,
it does that they're, going to do that. And so it's interesting that I love that they're doctors, because they see other people dealing with this stuff all the time. And it's kind of nice for people to see, when doctors have to deal with these things too. And I think sometimes in her situation, this wasn't the case, but I think sometimes you also see a lot of doctors become doctors because they witness these things as, while they were growing up or in their life. And that is what really inspired them and gave them that compassion.
Yeah. I think it's great that how they manage sometimes their emotions is there's a closet, closet. And so to kind of decompress, Brianna goes in there, just sort of
have their cry. Get away
and cry. And Jacob uses the closet to also get away from people and kind of come back into
himself. He's having a horrific day too.
Also,
I love the supply closet.
I do. Yes. So Brianna's in the supply closet crying because of her brother and everything that's going on in her life. The divorce, it's just, it's all sort of heavy on her. So she's in the supply closet crying, and Jacob just needs to get away from.
Because he just made it another major, like, Jacob's aware enough of himself that, after he made a faux pas with, I'm going to tell you to not run in the halls.
Yeah. I'm going to be the hall monitor today.
So he was popping into the closet to beat himself up about that.
Yeah.
And comes across this bawling, sobbing
woman that he's never formally met.
Yeah, that even he's though they're never colleagues, formally so. Met. Yeah. Yeah. And so they kind of bond over the fact that they hide off and deal with their emotions, on their own, in a supply closet together.
And Brianna softens. to Jacob right now.
But he also makes a mistake in the supply closet.
Yeah, he does. Because he's so awkward on the spot.
Yes.
He's not a Johnny on the spot.
No. Not with the adults.
There's like a couple of, like, he says something, but then he also does something. Like, he gives her a warm cloth for her face.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's like, okay, that was nice. That was really nice.
But then you're also not recognizing how hard it is for my brother to be on dialysis.
Yeah, kind of
an asshole.
So he did the Pollyanna thing of, oh, well, he can be on dialysis forever. And it's, so, you know, it's okay that he's a scrub left. He's going to be fine. He can just be on dialysis forever.
When, like, logically, that may be true, but, like, emotionally, like, that was the worst thing you could say.
Well, and one thing, and so his experience, so it's really weird, too, because he had a very, his mom actually needed a.
Did she have lupus? I can't remember. Lupus when he was like 16.
Yeah. And so one of
another autoimmune.
So his mom needed a kidney and she got one immediately. So her best friend gave her one. And so her mom got a match right off the bat. So his experience with this whole process is, it's a little uncomfortable for like, you know, a month or two or 3 months or whatever.
But it gets sorted out
and it's fine. And he'll just get a kidney, you know, not realizing that that's not.
That might not be in his cards.
Well, and he's doing like a doctor positive.
Exactly.
Look, here's the positive things you can see about what's going on. You know, you got to look at that rather than being negative and, you know, and thinking that it's never going to happen.
And it was too soon.
She wasn't in that kind of a headspace.
Yeah.
Pick that in.
And so they do this. So then
this is where he redeems himself.
Yes.
Right?
So he writes her this note because I love that he's like, okay, he doesn't text her at this point. He just is like, I'm going to write her a note, basically apologizing.
Which is totally what someone with anxiety
would
do well because they've got the time to really process it.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually love getting to know someone through writing.
I loved this part of the book probably because you got to see their friendship really blossom. And their cute little banter.
Yeah. It was so cute. It's cute too. So they're just leaving each other these little notes and it's kind of.
And developing a real true friendship.
Absolutely. And like she gives him some ins on how to fix things with all the people. Meanwhile, there's this kind of other little thing going on where Jacob has always been like, oh, I've always wanted to pay it forward because of what happened with my mom. But he's always like, but I don't want to just give a kidney to someone. I kind of want to know them a little bit. And so when his buddy, Xander, who he went through medical school with, that was like his medical school roommate,
through their residencies. Like they've been best friends and Xander really understands.
Totally gets him. And so Xander works at this hospital too. And he's actually Brianna's brother.
Benny's nephrologist.
Benny's nephrologist. And so Jake, Benny, and he's like, oh no, it's not gonna be like it's gonna be hard for him for everyone. And so he's like, well, why don't you run just for funsies, and we don't have to tell anyone or anything like that. And then he comes to find out that he is a match,
not just a match,
but like a perfect match, which is really crazy because like especially because he has an autoimmune disease and everything like that, to have all the markers match, that's like insane. That's awesome.
And so. Still, he is such a good human, Jacob, that he's like, we're keeping this totally.
He's gonna first off, he's gonna do it. Like, and I love how respectful his friend is. His friend isn't gonna be like, okay, well, since you did it, you know, you're automatically gonna do this. He's like, do you understand what it entails? These are the things. They actually even talk to the medical director to make sure that like they can coordinate it with work stuff. And this is also where, unbeknownst to the medical director, Jacob decides to be anonymous.
Yeah.
So because he doesn't want
the limelight. He doesn't want any accolades. He just wants to be truly good.
Yeah, exactly.
To do a good thing. And he finds this opportunity to do this.
So. And it's really cool because two things happen kind of at the same thing. So I love the fact that they get the news on the day that Brianna's actually divorcing. Like, she was going in, like, it was going to be her worst day of her, her nightmare day of her life. And getting the news that her brother is getting the kidney, kind of, she's like, this made the worst day the best day. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's interesting is Jacob gets himself in a little bit of an awkward situation with his family right before this.
Yes.
Because he's trying to deal and navigate with this whole brother and girlfriend. So he lies to his family
about having a girlfriend to take the pressure off.
And he sets it up. Oh, no, it's someone at my new job and stuff like that. And all of these different things. And then one of his sisters comes, his family's always checking on him and stuff. One of his sisters is coming to check in on him and goes to his closet.
But to their supply closet.
But she doesn't know it's now not his
fault. Like, situation, I'd be like, oh, this is where they go to fuck.
Yeah. No. But they're having lunch.
They're having lunch.
They're by this time, lunch. They've like.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, this must be my brother's new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, why would he be having lunch with another girl in the supply closet?
And at this, by this time, they've exchanged quite a few letters. They're very friendly. They like each other in those terms. And
you can also tell that she gets that he has anxiety and she knows how to deal with it with Benny. So she sets him up.
Her little brother, well, Benny, she
has anxiety.
Anxiety. So she knows.
Yeah, how to set him up and stuff. And so it's cute because you see her helping him familiarize himself in all the uncomfortable situations of the new friend groups, the things.
Getting ingratiated with the hospital staff. Like, she gives him all these tips and tricks and just helps him become.
Yeah, but it's not in a weird enabling way, which is really nice because sometimes you can feel like she's not taking responsibility for him.
She's just little clues.
Yeah, you can do this and this, approach it like this and stuff like that. And it's really cute to see how they disrespect, oh, whatever. It's just like if you had a friend who, you know, had one arm, you'd be like, oh, well, okay, well, you know, I'll throw you the ball from this side or,
I didn't think about this before, but after reading this book, I didn't realize that actually it helps somebody with anxiety to really prep them for what's happening. Like, okay, we're going to this place for dinner and here's the menu. I'm going to send you the menu. We're going to like drive by it. We're going to look at where the parking lot is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these steps.
So there's it's not so intimidating.
Yeah. And so when they go into any situation, they are fairly prepared for what's happening.
They know
Brianna does that for him. Mm-hmm. She lays it all out, like you said.
Or she gives him the information he needs to do it for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it's easy for her, she just sends it to him, you know, like, so she doesn't feel like I like it because it's not like she owns that I have to do this. It's this is just an easy thing to do. Like, I would pack this for this friend because they can't eat peanuts. So I will make them I'm making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah. I'll make them a peanut butter. I won't make them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll make them a bologna sandwich.
So Jacob's super thoughtful of everyone, but so is Brianna.
Yeah.
Like, they're just really two thoughtful humans.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So then it comes into the cute little director dude is adorable, but he also doesn't realize that Jacob wanted to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. And so when Brianna goes in to talk to her director after getting the amazing news that her brother found a kidney, she's like, I have to coordinate taking the time off.
Because she's going to have to.
Because she's going to have to take care of her brother and the time off for the surgery. But guess who also is going to be recovering at the exact same time because he's losing a kidney. And so the director's like, well, we're going to have to coordinate it because you do know that Jacob is giving the, you know, since Jacob's going to be gone because he's giving your brother the kidney, he'll be recovering at the same time you need off. We're going to have to. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, you didn't know Jacob is the one giving your brother the kidney. And so she, of course, like, she's like, I'm not going to pretend that I don't know. So she just immediately goes and gives him like the biggest hug ever. So
grateful.
And then she's like, is there anything I can do for you?
He's like, well,
yeah, but he's like, but then he was also like, I don't
fake girlfriend.
And he was like, I don't want to ask you this You have zero obligation. Like, I was going to ask you this. Like, he was already planning on asking her this before. And he's like, oh, I wish you didn't know.
Because it made perfect sense. They worked together. The sister had already caught them.
Exactly.
It was like, it just made sense.
And he even asked his friend Xander, do you think she would?
And he knew there was no, like, strings attached. Because she just wasn't in the right headspace for, like, a romantic relationship at all. Like, absolutely. It was truly, like, a friend helping a friend out.
And his buddy Xander, who was the nephrologist, he was like, do you think, like, he's like, oh, she would totally just do it. She would totally do it because, like, it's actually kind of fun and cute, you know, like, to get to pretend to be your girlfriend. Like, she would be down with that. And so he was all prepared to ask her for that and things like that. And so then he almost didn't ask her because he didn't want it to sound like, you owe me. Yeah. And so he was like, oh, no, well, now what am I going to do? But it was cute. And she was like, whatever, I would have done it anyway.
Yeah, I totally would have been your fake girlfriend.
Despite
the kidney.
Yeah, despite the gift kidney, of kidney. The gifted kidney. So then it's really funny, too. But then because this is Brianna, because of the kidney and stuff, like, she's like, I'm going to be the best fake girlfriend ever.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, it's not so easy as they think. And it's not just as easy as her going
No. But she is the one who's like, dude, you're clueless. Like, he thought you'll just show up in, like, you know, 3 days to the wedding and blah, blah, blah.
But now that they're really, truly going to be fake girlfriend, boyfriend, like, this is going to be an HR situation.
Brianna was like, you're not taking this serious enough.
Yeah, like my toothbrush doesn't just need to be in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be in your bed on occasion.
No? So yeah, Brianna was so cute because she's all like, listen, and you can just, this is such the doctor mentality. They were so funny with that. Like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm committing to this, I don't commit. I don't do half ass.
I go
so,
all in.
Yeah. So let me just tell you. You just asked me to be your fake girlfriend. I'm going to be the best freaking fake girlfriend ever. And she just takes charge of it and is like, no, I have to, like. Yep. So then they, like, I need to learn everything about you. I need to, you know, even more and even more. And she was
because they're going to get quizzed. His family wants to know all the details.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're
super
easy.
Then she realizes who his mother is.
Oh, after at their house for dinner.
This is a whole new level.
Yeah, and she was like, what the hell? Your mother's like a sex therapist, super inquisitive.
And she knows how relationships are supposed to look. Like, 100%. She's going to know we're
faking
it.
Yeah, and so she was just like,
unless I move in with you.
How did you leave that part out?
Yeah.
How did you? And then, her mom also... Her brother was getting depressed and stuff. Yeah. So then her mom came up and moved in with them too. And so it's not like she was abandoning their brother after her. Oh, move into my house and then I'm going to move into my fake boyfriend's house.
Yeah.
So.
It works out because the mom can be, and the mom was a nurse, so she knows how to help him with his dialysis. And so mom is with Benny and Brianna moves in with Jacob. And it takes on a whole new... You know,
quite lovely.
They really like each other. But once again, there's like a little bit of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. It's their parts. Like, you know, somebody doesn't want to say exactly how they feel because they're worried about getting hurt.
And they work together and they have this friendship.
She still got that PTSD and idea that you can't trust men. Like, that's kind of underlying everything.
Yeah.
So even though she can play the part really well, she doesn't want to be that part.
Yes.
It's not safe for her.
And it's so hard for them too because they don't want they don't want to ruin their friendship because they become such good friends. And then they're like, I'm not faking this anymore. This isn't, I'm actually truly feeling these things. And it's cute because like, they only get to be socially, you know, acceptable, physical with each other and touchy and cute and crawl on your lappiness when other people are around.
Putting on a show.
Yeah, when they're putting on a show. And so she's all like, man, I want to be around, you know, people and stuff. And so, and it worked. They're good because like.
They have to keep their professional.
Yeah, they have to be professional. But the funny thing is like it's so obvious they have chemistry, and it's mm-hmm. so obvious that it works.
Well, everyone believes them because
yeah. it is actually true.
And yet neither of them want to admit it. And this just kills me.
But it's so hard to be reading it because you're like, come on, you guys really do like each other. You belong. Can you just get over this weird thing, like a misunderstanding always?
But I totally related to that feeling, like that how vulnerable you are when you share like that I love you, because then you can actually get rejected. Mm-hmm. So they can't be real with each other because they've both been rejected.
Yes.
And they just to go through that hurt again would be mm-hmm. so uh-huh. awful.
Yeah, it's hard to take that next step. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's easy because it's all surface of what they're telling themselves. This is all surface.
This is just, this isn't real.
Yeah, so neither can be real with each other.
Yeah.
They're really good faker pants.
Yes, but they're what they really feel is so strong. Mm-hmm. They actually really love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So they get hanky-panky happens.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the plot begins a little bit because, so they're going to all these family events mm-hmm. and the ex-girlfriend kind of does treat him like a sister already. Like it's kind of funny how fast
because they're about to be like sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah. And they actually work better in that role than they did.
They did.
So she kind of goes to him and she's like, what the hell? Like, is this, mm-hmm. is this, because they find out that he's donating a kidney to her brother. She's like, is this a legit relationship or is this just because?
Is she using you?
Yeah. Is this just because, is she dating you to get the
sexual prowess to get a kidney out of you?
To get a kidney out of you? Because you are so sweet that, you know, like, you know, you would just be like, oh my gosh, you're paying attention to me. Have a kidney.
She must be using you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like the green card situation. Like,
absolutely.
Are they really into you, or they just want their green card?
Exactly. Well, and it's funny. So then, of course, Brianna overhears the wrong part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And she starts believing that he is still in love
with her.
With her. Yeah.
They still care deeply about each other. They have to, like, fight. Like, real fight.
Yes. It was a real fight. And because they do have real emotions for each other, it just wasn't the romantic-y ones. Mm-hmm. And so Brianna is thinking, I am so stupid, because men won't love me. You can't trust, you know. And then she, of course, answers her own questions because she looks back at their communication and she goes, well, he was honest with me. He told me this stuff already.
Yeah.
But
and
those
every
were
single
not.
Thing he does, it's got this undercurrent of fake.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of funny because some of it is how his anxiety presents. Mm-hmm. And so he's giving himself kind of a parachute in every situation so he can, you know, save himself from the letdown. Mm-hmm. And so him padding his conversations with her to give himself an emotional out, she thinks he's padding those conversations because he doesn't actually
love her.
And so that was kind of a neat little thing for them to discover and, you know, what to do. So they kind of have to.
Well, Brianna's all has these insecurities already, and it doesn't help that she's
totally legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't help that she sees her ex-husband with his now wife, the woman that the friend that he cheated on Brianna with.
And she was married to him for like 10 years. This woman, I think, actually helped plan their 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm.
It was a very big betrayal. Yeah. And now she's pregnant. And for this completely, Brianna can't deal with it all. So she shuts down.
Entirely. And pushes Jacob away.
Yeah. Yep. She's like, I can't trust anybody. Not even
absolutely. Yep. And not only that, but what does Brianna find out? She's also pregnant. And now she's doing it alone and dealing with that. So it's like, it's heavy stuff.
Yeah, so they do have
She is totally projecting what happened to her onto Jacob.
Oh yeah.
100%.
And right, yeah. So basically Jacob and Brianna have a little ooh-la-la-y, like seriously 10 minutes before the big fight between Jacob and his ex.
So he's left wondering. So what's that brings happen? Us to what would you do?
Over there.
What would you do if you were in love, but the walls you've built to protect yourself from trusting somebody are too tall to climb?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is such a legitimate barrier that I think so many people go over. I think like the kind of the question is like, how do you know when you're ready for a relationship after you've gone through something so
And are you ever horrendous? Really, really ready?
And yeah, how do you get
I ready? Mean, I think kind of sometimes like people, there are some things you need to be self-actualized and things like that, but you're never going to be fully ready and prepared to handle a real relationship. You're never going to be fully ready to have children. Now, does that mean jump into those situations?
I think that a lot of times people will get into a relationship to mask like these feelings of like, I don't want to deal with that. When I really, really think, and Jacob's mom says it best, like, this girl is suffering from some serious PTSD, and the only way to overcome that is she really needs to go to some counseling.
Oh, yeah.
And so the best way you can support her, because I see that you love her and you guys are right for each other, because as a sex, therapist person, she sees what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved that the mom pointed that out and that's the best way you can support her.
Yeah. Don't we see this over and over and over again in life and in love, in a romance novels, is that there's this lack of communication of how you're really feeling.
Absolutely.
And sometimes because of that, it brings out these walls.
These fight or flight responses.
You know,
well,
you can't,
that's what,
yeah.
And I think sometimes people will think like the beginning of a relationship, especially like if you've been in a bad one, like she had been, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, when I have a relationship with someone where we're able to talk about all these other aspects and really deep and we can be real genuine and we can accept each other and this like that, you then go, oh my God, well then this is going to be perfect. But the thing that you forget is, until you have to approach something and deal with something that is either triggering to you,
or your
partner,
response.
That is actually when you have to see, can we pull in and apply the tools we have? And, you know,
if you have them,
if we have them,
because
but
even
can
Brianna,
we do that? Yeah.
As even though she's medically trained, she does not have the tools that it takes
to deal with PTSD. She has trauma.
She didn't go to war, right? I mean, people think that PTSD is like, well, you have to go to war to have PTSD, but
you know,
you don't. She truly is. These are trauma responses. Fight or flight is kicking in, and there's no way that she can overcome that.
No, you
have
to
those tools.
You
and
have to learn how to reset your nervous system.
I don't think that she even understands that of
she
herself.
She doesn't see it in herself.
Jacob's mother, you know, seeing that and suggesting it is huge.
Well, she was doing the normal standard thing. Oh, I'll just dive into my job more. Oh, I will take care of my brother's problems as the focus of my life. I will, I will just keep myself so busy because I have developed this fight or flight.
Yeah, she's a flight person.
Yeah.
That's kind of her response.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do this, run away if I have to.
She's, you know, being, you know, going through the betrayal and going through all that stuff, you know, she, and that weird, awkward phase that, you know, when she's like trying to discover everything, then, you know, the ending phases of the divorce and all that jazz, she has gotten to where she's like on go, go, go. And that becomes her state of being. And until you learn and process and go through all your crap, that's how your nervous system functions. So you fill it. You keep yourself crazy, go, go, going.
Yeah.
And extreme level because you don't know how to function anymore. And so she has to reset her nervous system. And you really do need counseling. I don't know. Maybe some people don't. But I think that what you learn from going through those processes to, and it's really nice when you have actual trauma to do trauma counseling, because a lot of if you don't do it correctly, then you're re-traumatizing yourself every time you go to counseling. This is why it's like, you can hash it out with your girlfriends and things like that. But when you're talking about true trauma, they're physiologically, the responses that kick in your body and stuff like that, you do need someone who can guide you through there, because otherwise you're just re-traumatizing yourself mm-hmm. every time you talk about it. That's why a lot of times you'll see people who like, why are you, you know, you talking about this 24/7 without the tools to deal with it? You are torturing yourself. Like, it's mm-hmm. not helping you. Talk therapy doesn't necessarily help you get through trauma. You're just constantly re-traumatizing yourself. When you have a PTSD response mechanism yeah. going through your system, you have to reset your nervous system.
So that's the thing that I probably loved about this book, because she had so much great information mm-hmm. about mental health.
Absolutely.
And I love that, like, so Brianna, yeah, it's true. Like, you don't have to have this like awful, horrific thing.
No.
Like, everybody's trauma is totally different.
And what can traumatize you is different than what can traumatize somebody else. And mm-hmm. you may be resilient to a trauma that would devastate someone else, but then you have this other thing that for you yes. is traumatic. It's yeah. how your body responds to things.
So yes, this was such a great depiction and accurate mm-hmm. and of mental health. I kind of wanted to like dive into the social anxiety part a little bit.
Yeah, ask you guys, I love
like,
it. Yeah.
So like just thought provoking questions about like Jacob mm-hmm. and his social anxiety, because I thought she did such a tremendous job.
It was huge. So
how like, did you guys recognize any of these social anxiety things in yourself, or maybe someone that you know?
Dude, I feel yes. like,
yeah. For me, yeah.
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 I feel like I am the Jacob's ex. And my poor kids, I'm like, oh shit. Because my kids, you know, can sometimes have, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And probably my ex-husband too, you know, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair, I probably like, stress the shit out of him.
Well, and I truly, like, I love my husband mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah.
And
you're kind of an outgoing, like.
Like, I know, I like seeing that. I was like, holy shit, this is what he goes through.
Yeah.
Kind of breaks my heart. But he's so thoughtful.
He really is.
I loved it.
Well, I mean, I kind of think my ex-husband.
Yeah.
Deals
yeah,
with that
that's
a little
true
bit
too.
He
that's true too.
Doesn't like to be in social situations and he, you know, used to plan things out. You know, he didn't like to go to things with me. I mean, I think that's smart. Maybe I wasn't very sensitive to that either.
I mean, I've really struggled with that. Like, I'll walk into a room and say something totally stupid and not think about it. And like, I didn't realize, like, Brad's like, I was so embarrassed for you. Oh, it was not a big deal.
Me too.
Nobody cares. Well, but at the same time, he's like, but he thinks about those things. And I was that's not a thought. But that could be so paralyzing.
Well, I think one thing, and I think I know that this was one of the things where when you are kind of super extroverted, and I think that that kind of falls, like, especially,
yeah.
I know that 1 out of 10 of my woos, you know, like, mm-hmm. is not going to hit the mark. I mean, wow, did that just, yeah. And so I'm like, I can never run for political office because my 1 out of every 10 are going to pop up all the time.
But at the same time, like, you give yourself grace to be like, well, that's just human. We fuck up. But like,
exactly.
But like, if you had a lot of anxiety, that might be like, paralyzing.
Well, and once in a while, I can pick on my. I mean, like, I have so much ammunition for when I want to pick on myself. Oh, really? Yeah. You know. But on the same note, I think I'm freaking hilarious 3 out of those 10 yeah. times, and the other times you're just like, whatever.
But
like
me,
that was
like,
weird
for me. Some not like experiencing that. Like, oh yeah, that was a want, but I'm like, I move on.
Exactly.
It doesn't stop me from like doing it again.
Oh no. In fact, give me 10 minutes. It'll happen.
But then at
again.
The same time, I was like, it was nice to like see and gain a much better understanding mm-hmm. of somebody who might have that thought and be going through
absolutely.
The things. Like, it gave me a lot of,
yeah,
a lot more empathy and understanding. And I just, it was so
it was
well
such
done.
Such a thoughtful book. It was so, it's just really nice. It's really yeah. nice. She she did such a good job. Like, this is why I like to read. I like to read because I like to learn other people's perspectives and have those feelings when those aren't the feelings that
you would ever
that
play.
I would have. Yeah. And for me, it's just like, it's a great education because, you know, I can write the book about the person who goes wah, wah, and moves on. Yeah. And, you know, and then I can learn about the person who's the opposite ways. And so, I don't know, like, I also don't think that it's the end of the world to, you know, be a one out of it. It's common for me to do something that would be absolutely devastating to someone else. But I also think that...
But this, I understand, like, why, and that it is okay to have those feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe I liked that Brianna, like, could help him process that and deal with it. I also liked, so they pointed out, like, the ways that Jacob helped manage and do some self-care around his anxiety. Like, he used journaling. He was great about consistency with exercise
and eating good
diet.
Healthy. It's so true.
I love that she said, there are things you can do to help manage this.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. What are your guys' tips and tricks? Do you guys have any, like, self-care?
I have to work out 5 times a week for at least to manage my mental health.
Yeah, I feel like I have a little bit of an anxiety thing. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't exercise, I feel anxious throughout the day.
Hands down agree. Like, I like my little yoga where all I do is think about breathing the whole time.
Now that makes me anxious. Thinking about my breathing makes me anxious.
Really? I love it. I love it. Like, and when I was like learning how to swim, all you do when you're swimming is thinking about breathing.
And I loved
that it just took the whole outside world and let me just like focus on the here and now.
Which
I know, but it's so helpful to me.
Like, I love that. I love that.
I'm grounded.
The only time I can work on breathing work where it's not stressful and anxious for me is when I sing. So that's why I go to the
singing
shower.
Singing is a really great way to work on breathing too.
I sing in the shower, and singing is the only way I can work on breath work myself, just because I was hospitalized when I was a little kid
with pneumonia
and just not being able to breathe and having, you know, genuine, like,
I started going to yoga because of my lung issues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a difference that has made, but it also like gets me in a good headspace.
It's really good.
So I also like my coffee time. In the morning.
Oh.
Yep. It can be 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just have coffee. Look, go through my email. Just let my brain kind of think about
rituals.
My day. Yes,
but I remember when you created that ritual back in our jogging days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but having a ritual like that, it's a great way to like kind of do a reset and like, okay, the past is past. We're starting fresh.
Yep. I'm going to think about my day. I'm going to kind of decompress.
Yeah. That's been the hardest thing for me about moving away from y'all is I lost all of my ritual. And my husband having such a freaking stupid, crazy, all over the place schedule, trying to find out how to recreate rituals with a man whose schedule's beyond stupid.
I've moved and I lost a lot of rituals too, but like I finally.
Yeah, you've gotten yours.
A month or two, I've really been trying to like simplify life. A lot of
good
decisions.
At simplifying.
Regain like a ritual too. Because, and I'm like feeling so good.
Do you know, I think that's a really good point.
It is a big deal.
Lisa, I think that's why I keep messing up. Because.
You haven't got your rituals back.
But I think it's the process of getting, you said something right there that was super, there's a process of getting rituals back. Because I was used to everything I could carry here because my rituals were so well organized.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and you stack, when you have rituals, the beautiful thing about rituals is that you're like, oh, if I want to create a new habit, I just stack that onto this ritual. I just stack this onto this ritual. Mm-hmm. So, you can become so freaking efficient and you can get the entire universe done in like no time. You know what I'm saying? So I think my problem was that I moved. I lost all my rituals. Mm-hmm. I lost all my possessions. I lost everything and my friends and all my, you know, in a sense. And
you didn't lose me.
I know. For me. But the way that I don't get to you every day.
Nice try. I know.
But I think my problem was that I'm like, expected myself to be able, like, I'm like trying to create rituals that carry the same load that my old rituals did. And it's like, I've never given myself the grace of realizing, dude, I don't get to have the 37 step ritual for this. I have to go back to a one or two step.
Yeah.
And I suck at
build your
I keep trying to go through a lot of life change. I keep, and I'm like, thank you. I think I did not realize that until right now. So thank you. I think that's why I've been, and then I've been beating myself up because I'm failing. It's like, well, of course you're failing. Yeah. You're trying to implement a 37 step ritual before you have a 5-step ritual or a 3-step ritual in place.
You have to rebuild it.
Yeah.
And when you have major life
changes. Then I'm like, well, I'm just not being efficient. And like, seriously, and this is me. I'm like, yeah, my morning routine, I used to have it down so much. I'm like, I got all my abs and I got all my things. I got all my self-care done. I got all this stuff done so perfectly. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't have the same spaces. I don't have the same tools. I don't have the same stuff. And I think you're
one
right.
One thing at a time.
Really suck at that because I want to do it all at once and like
love it. Jump on one foot. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Sharing ritual.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's huge. It's a great way to handle and manage stress.
And start with one, not 37.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, how dumb is that?
No, it's not dumb.
Okay, my last, like, I feel like we kind of went into this, how Brianna's view of men, like, was shaped by her mom and her own life experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And can you understand why Brianna was afraid to love Jacob? I feel like we...
Absolutely.
We totally...
Yeah, I think there was kind of a neat little thing.
Dived into that.
I think the mom and her had a... The mom and her had a kind of a cute little sum-up relationship, too, where the mom's like, that's not what I was trying to train you.
I didn't realize
I did that to you.
She's like, it's safe. You can trust. But,
yeah.
But I did that to you.
Yeah.
And for her mom to name it...
Yeah.
...is a big deal.
Because that's a cool-ass mom.
Name something... It helps a person be able to heal from that.
Yeah. It does.
It's a weird thing.
We can't fix it if we never face it. Let the past be the past. Yes.
It feels like a musical.
It's from K-pop Demon Hunters. It's the song Free. It's an awesome song. It's been stuck in my head for the past 3 days straight.
Maybe it's telling you something.
Let the past be the
past. I don't know.
I like
I've never heard the song, but.
Well, I think we can all take something from that. Let the past be the past.
Yeah.
And to, but yeah. We can't fix it if we never face it.
Even better. Ooh. Okay.
Thank you, Brianna's mom. And I can't remember Brianna's mom, but like just for helping name something so that it becomes tangible to face.
And what an awesome mom. Yeah. Because right there, this is something, another thing, self-improvement thing I'm trying to do is she didn't defend her, acknowledge her daughter's experience from engaging with her.
Yeah.
And so if the mom could have been all like, well, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. That didn't happen. That's not what I was trying to do. She would have denied her daughter's experience.
And she would have stopped that healing process.
Yeah. And instead of doing that, the mom was like, oh, whoa, that was your experience? Mm-hmm. Sweetheart.
So I want to challenge us.
Yeah.
I want to challenge because, like, is there something in your past that you need to face?
Yes.
Or is there someone that you need to help acknowledge maybe your wrongdoing? That maybe intentional or unintentional.
Yeah.
Probably unintentional because we do that. That you maybe need to give someone that gift.
Yeah. And I love that. And, you know, I love that when a lot of the time, I think one of the things I love about this book is it's the humanness. It is, is the acknowledging we all have areas of strengths and weakness, and that's okay. It's okay if we mesh on these things with some people better than other people, because I think that was one of the things that Jacob's growth in this book was about. Yeah. Because he was his ex-girlfriend, he knew they should have broken up long before they actually broke up. He's like, but she's a good person. She's a great person. She's nice and everything's great. They just weren't a good fit.
But it was familiar to him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that familiarity.
Well, and because he's not a confrontational person, just even breaking up with her was, it made him so anxious.
Well, she had to break up with him, essentially.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about like the overall, like, was this book like realistic?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this book was super realistic.
I was blown away, Abby.
Yeah.
You so fucking nailed that.
You nailed it. And so, so like every part of it, like all of the, all yes. of it, all of the responses were genuine and realistic. All of the mm-hmm. advice for healing, all of the advice for personal growth, the medical stuff was
there
all
was
correct.
There was nothing in this book that I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. It was all right. She's it was well read. You know, it's almost like she has anxiety and she thinks of everything from every angle at every single time.
Maybe that's why she's such, such a good writer. She, yeah, she did
yeah,
a great,
like
super realistic.
Yes,
I
think super. She did great. She did an amazing
yes.
job. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is it, would these two people realistically ever get together?
Yes.
It was the perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the same note, I really love the fact, I think these two needed the situationship-ness of,
yes.
of to in order to get there because
to,
they
to
were
overcome
not
their real barriers.
Yes. Yeah.
They're legitimate.
They
barriers.
Were both not yeah. going they would it, without the situationship, they would I think eventually like in 3 or 4 or 5
the
years.
The timing of when they came together mm-hmm. couldn't have been more perfect
yes.
for them to actually
yeah. I do think that had they not had the situationship that they probably would have actually started dating in another couple of years. But it sped things up for them mm-hmm. at least yeah. by 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And it really helped them like with that healing process mm-hmm. that they both needed to go through. Yeah. So I think this was one of those destiny situations.
Exactly. I think it, I really think it would have yeah. happened. It would have happened
yeah.
had they not had the situationship that mm-hmm. accelerated it. Just because how fast things were going with just the notes and the fact, you know, you're like, aw, that's cuteness.
Yeah. It was so, super, super cute.
How long do you think their relationship will last and why? If they get together, because we don't know, do they solve it all?
So, I'm going to say 25 to life.
I would just say like, just... right. Like things that we look for markers of like a long-term relationship mm-hmm. is that building the friendship before mm-hmm. the sexual intimacy. Check. Communication.
Or just building. Yeah.
Communication's yeah. another huge. Yeah.
And they did have some communication issues that mm-hmm. they had to resolve.
They did. And were they respectful to each other in how they yeah. did that?
Check. Yes. Well, no, they... actually they, there was, Brianna was a little bit of a runaway too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So they weren't actually super okay. duper. They had to fix
you're
some
right.
things.
Yeah.
And that's also part of, because it is part of when she's triggered as part of her responses.
That's her PTSD.
That's her PTSD responses and stuff like that. Right. And so there's still growth, but it's identified and it's moving in a healthy
and
direction.
I love that Jacob, how he dealt with that. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't necessarily let her run away, mm-hmm. but he approached her with such caution and very softly so that he wasn't coming on strong, you know, but he wouldn't let
she
her
would
necessarily
run if he had.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah. I liked how he always approached that. He wouldn't let her just get off like, oh, well, I guess I'm never going to talk to her again. He mm-hmm. would. He wouldn't let her do that. He mm-hmm. would kept.
He was persistent.
And they actually mm-hmm. repaired that damage. Like they didn't just brush it under the rug. They mm-hmm. addressed it.
Yes.
Like is another huge marker of like long-term.
And that I think that right there, I think is the most, that's our, will you make it life is not, do you not have the issues? It's how do you address and repair.
And complete
yes.
about the tough things in a way that is compassionate and respectful.
Yes. And that's
I'm curious.
Me.
You're ready to hear the other person mm-hmm. and not be defensive about it.
Yeah. Because, and it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, and not that you're not going to go, oh, I'm getting defensive. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This conversation is not about me right now. I can have my conversation later, but when someone approaches you hurt, and you love them, it's their conversation. It's mm-hmm. not yours. You can then later on bring up your conversation yeah. about insecurity or whatever, but it's a separate, you can't hijack other people's conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think when they do get to that, because mm-hmm. we know it's a romance novel.
They're going to
end up together.
They end up together. But,
but
we
how
think
do
they'll
they
last.
Do it? 25 to life.
And I love that we really.
I don't say that often.
I
do give a 25 to life.
Means
that means
something.
It's a damn good story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How spicy was it?
I'd say
a jalapeno.
Yeah, it wasn't too.
There was sexual tension.
I will say there was a lot of sexual tension. So when they finally, I was like, fuck already. So I feel like that's
make
kind
that
of,
baby
I'm
going to
give it cayenne because of that, like the
intensity
slow
of it.
Build okay. And the intensity over time.
Yeah. Okay. And the actual,
like, it wasn't super raunchy. It wasn't like explicit, but it was like, it was a build.
It was a build and it was appropriate. And then, and you could tell why they ended up having unprotected sex. You
like,
know, in that
do we
moment,
not know how babies are made?
Yeah, they're they might have had a couple of lessons on
I
that.
I think they had a few, and yet still.
And I hate to say it, like, I'm not a proponent. I'm not a proponent of that irresponsibility. However, I totally got it in this situation. Like, I'm like, yeah, that was gonna happen.
Yeah,
I mean, because that needed to have happened in a controlled environment prior. Like, yeah. If you don't do it when you're supposed to do it, that's when you're going to be an idiot and do it without protection.
Yeah. That happens. Yep. Which is why we have IUDs. Okay. I didn't write down a favorite line.
I didn't either.
But I want to say that everything the parrot ever said. My favorite one.
I like Grandpa.
Oh, and Grandpa.
I love the Grandpa character. So there's this cute little Grandpa character who...
Give me a cigarette.
He, like, basically pimps for cigarettes. So he, like, threatens for cigarettes. I'm going to tell him that you're hitting on me.
So there was a lot of comic relief in this.
Yes, there's
which
tons
was
of...
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's
so
a fun
well
read.
It's a fun read.
An informative one.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of heavy, but she does such a good job.
So does it matter? Is the story engaging?
Absolutely.
We loved it.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I think
and it was
fun.
Cute and fun. And there's actually, this is part of a series because you find out kind of her best friends, her best friend who's in it. There's a romance novel about how she fell in love with
her beau. Were sweet in the story, too.
They were cute in the story, too. But they were just like a small little nod to them.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah. Like, it's the
world.
Yours truly universe going on here.
I'm probably going to read that one.
I would want to read her others.
Yeah, even though those two don't sound like, she just did such a good job of diving into real relationships.
So this is one of those, like, deep, thought-provoking romance novels that gives you a really better understanding of the people in the world around you.
Yeah, but it was also really fun and cute. You got all of your little nuggets of what you want in a romantic read. And you can decide how much of the advice and how much of the information you want to take or not. Because it's not distracting at all from the actual story.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's part of it. It doesn't distract of it. You never are being lectured.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, you're learning advice from, you know, a parrot or I don't know, you know. Yeah.
Or even, you know, whether or not you should give Grandpa that cigarette. We learned about that too.
Yeah.
Like, it was so great.
It was really great.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Who should read this book?
Everyone.
I think everyone.
Everyone?
Yeah, everyone. But you do need to know, like, this isn't your...
This is not a youth novel. Like, I wouldn't give this to a teenager.
Oh, no.
I think it's still a little bit too much.
There's too much. If you're looking for, like, want, you know, the fantasy book, this is not that book.
No, because you're going to get too much out of it to, if you're just looking for nothing but habaneros and ghosts, like...
This is not that book. So, but if you're looking
for... It's deep,
but
a little spicy.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, you know, it's a building of a relationship, which, you know, makes, like, when they do have sex, it makes it, like, super exciting.
Like, you're excited
like
for
it.
Them. Uh-huh. Like, you don't get pissed at
I was
them
like,
for
yes,
not using
finally.
I know.
Even though
yeah.
you didn't put the condom on, like, that's okay.
I know, like, I always get
I just
pissed.
Said that.
I know. So, like, that's me. I'm like, I always get pissed in books when, like, you're fucking a stranger without a condom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you irresponsible dumbass. I'm sorry. No, there was...
beat their head into the wall.
Yes.
No.
But in this situation, I was sort
we don't
of like...
beat people. Oh, maybe.
How much do they deserve it? But in this situation, I have to say that, like, honestly, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You're irresponsible, but at least you're good enough people. You'll take care of things if you need to.
Totally. Yeah. So,
upcoming?
Well, I want to just say I'm really grateful that someone recommended this one.
Yeah, thank you. That was a great
recommendation.
Thank
you for that. And
we
I want, you know, if someone else has a great recommendation, to get a hold of us. You go to www.myperfectromance.com. You can leave a comment if you're an author and you want us to talk about you and your book. You can also inquire. There's an author inquiry area. Like I've just loved all the authors that have been so gracious to reach out to us.
I love all the authors.
Give us the opportunity to speak with them. And,
I know.
And dive deep into all that. So that's been a lot of fun. So reach out. We love hearing from you. And so, yeah, what's coming up? I'm excited. We're going to do author interview with Jessica Everly and her husband.
Yeah. Brandon. Yeah. They're cute.
I'm super excited. That was a really good book too. Lyrics and Love Letters. Yes. And I think it's not coming out until May 6th. I could have that date wrong. But also we pre-record.
Yeah.
Secret tricks. But so we've already done this, but it's going to come out after this one.
Yeah.
We're going to talk with a fellow podcaster who's like a relationship expert.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to help us debunk the happily ever after and the myths around that with Lee Balcom. And he does the Save My Marriage podcast.
Yeah.
And so
that's great.
That was a really fun.
That was. Oh, that man, he's a PhD. He's legit. He's awesome.
Yeah. And so we're doing that, that's coming up, you should go ahead and listen to his podcast. It's really informative.
It's super. And it's very digestible.
Yeah. And then a movie, and it just came out April 3rd. So pretty recent. I'm so excited to talk about the drama. This is like one of those situations that's like, whoa, that's a lot to unpack. And I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
The drama with Zendaya.
Yeah, she's so cute.
Robert Pattinson, who is more than just Edward. He's a great actor.
Yes, like, this is true. And I was never Team Edward, but I'm Team him.
I was Team Edward, but I'm so excited to see.
It's true. So like, you're like sandwiched between two Jacobs.
That's true. They were Team Jacob. I was Team Edward. Even though I don't believe in the Bella-Edward dynamic. I think that Robert Pattinson is an actor. Like, he's really got a lot of great roles.
Him.
And he does a great job. Like, so I'm excited to watch that. So.
Okay. Well, until then, keep believing in the perfect version of your own romance.
I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been My Perfect Romance.
Happy romancing, everyone.
So.